Welcome back to the Pick and Slip, where we pick our favorite NBA topic
and
slip them into your life. Follow us on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show.
Boom, boom.
And listen to all of our episodes on Spotify. Just look up Pick and Slip.
Search it up. And hello, everybody. Welcome to Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman.
And we're here on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. Yes, we're here to talk about basketball.
Per usual,
you know.
Pick and Slip NBA talk show. Is that what we would call ourselves?
NBA talk show? That's what I would say. It's mainly what we do here. You know, we just talk.
Yeah, and it's a show.
We
almost had to delay the show because I had my second COVID shot today, but they did it real fast. Shout out to the Marion County Health Department for getting me through quick, and I made it just in time to have the show.
Yep. Probably would have still had it. It would have been a little bit later, but...
Yeah, it was going to be... We were probably going to push it back to like 12:30 or 1, but we know that you are loyal listeners always. Tune in at exactly 12, and we didn't want to disappoint you, so I made sure. I was cutting in line and everything.
Yeah. You know. But I'm going to go ahead, and I think if it doesn't matter to you, a few things we're going to go over today. We're going to go ahead and maybe not start, but the play-in tournament that's coming up.
Yeah.
You have the Pacers that have just kind of refused to tank this year. Like they kind of started tanking, then they won like 3 straight, and now they've solidified themselves into the play-in tournament.
I spent half the show last week talking about what we would have to do to get Cade Cunningham, and then look at us now, the 9 seed.
Yeah. And now the Pacers have confirmed a spot in the play-in tournament. What else? We have the Blazers, who I believe are 9-1 in their last 10. Yeah. They're on an absolute tear. Trying to make sure that dude does not lose his house.
Kent Bazemore and Bradley Beal had a little bit of a Twitter squabble.
Yeah.
James Harden came back, had a really good game, and the night before James Harden came back, Kyrie Irving went down. So they cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, that's one thing we can talk about. I mean, as you guys probably do know, Braden has the Bucks winning. I think Bucks and Lakers in the finals, and the Bucks are. I think he has the Lakers winning.
No,
do you have Bucks winning?
I want the Lakers to win, but I have the Bucks.
Yeah, he has the Bucks winning. I think Bucks Lakers.
You know,
I'd
be happy
winning
either way.
And I mean, you guys should already know I have the Clippers winning this year. But yeah, so it doesn't matter to me if you want to go ahead and you can bring up one of those topics or bring up something.
I mean, yeah,
it doesn't matter which one we start off on.
Hometown team, let's talk about the Pacers. Not going to spend as much time on them as I have in previous weeks. We're 33-36. Do not deserve a spot in the play-in. Mm-hmm. We do not deserve a spot in the playoffs. We're also facing Washington. Russell Westbrook's been on a tear. We're not making it out of the first round of the play-in. We should have just lost all these games, and then we wouldn't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
But instead, we just won back-to-back.
And some of it, you could say it's because of injuries that have happened. We had Miles Turner out for a little bit. Sabonis is out for a little bit.
T.J. Warren's been out for the whole season.
T.J. Warren. Caris LeVert, when he got traded, obviously, couldn't play.
Right.
So, a lot of injuries this year for the Pacers. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I mean, it's a part of the game. So.
Yeah. And then, two other injuries that happened this week. Jaylen Brown went down, tore something in his wrist. He's not going to be playing for the rest of the season. And then also Victor Oladipo, I believe, had it was something to do with his leg. I think it might have been his hamstring. I didn't read it, but prayers up to both of those guys. Out for the season, both of them. That's Miami wasn't getting too much production out of Victor Oladipo this season, but he's still a good player, and that's definitely going to hurt them come playoff time. Jaylen Brown is the second-best player on the Celtics. They're pretty much done at this point. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to Charlotte in this first round.
Yeah, the Celtics, it was the same. I can't remember exactly what game it was, but it was Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, like, both kind of landed really awkwardly. I don't know if it was on top of each other, like, right next to each other, but they both did at the same time, right? At least right next to each other. And they both kind of hurt their legs, but now... it's confirmed Jaylen Brown, like he says, out for the entire, remainder of the season. And I don't know about Jason Tatum.
Tatum, I thought, was all right.
I don't. I think he's good. I think he actually played.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's fine, yeah. I'm pretty sure I just saw him play, actually.
Jason Tatum now is, the only way that this team's going to amount to anything is if Jason Tatum really puts the team on his back, which he's a really good player. I'm not sure if he has that sort of wherewithal. And so, like, they're definitely not making it out of the first round.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Kimball Walker has been on a tear as of late.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it. He's been going off. I mean, I feel like if Kimba could have done that throughout the entire season, they would be a lot better. Like, Celtics would be a lot better than what they currently are. But obviously, you know, that isn't the case.
I mean, best case scenario here is that Boston either wins their first game in the play-in and they play against Brooklyn, or they lose the first game, win the second game, they become the 8 seed, and they play against Philadelphia. They're not winning either of those matchups.
Yeah, no,
they won't. They're a first round exit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which, this was another year I felt like everybody had high expectations for the Celtics.
Yeah.
They've been injury plagued. They made some questionable decisions at the trade deadline and in the offseason. Let Gordon Hayward walk for nothing when they could have signed and traded them for Miles Turner, which I am so glad they didn't. But just, this year should have been different than it went. And
yeah,
I'm kind of reveling in Boston fans between New England and the Celtics really being upset with their sports teams. I kind of love their sports teams playing poorly right now.
I mean, usually they're always good.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, you know.
I mean, listen, Boston sports fans, known as being one of the worst fan bases, or at least most obnoxious, and I'm just kind of reveling in seeing them not having a good time right now, which, unfortunately, it has come at the expense of injuries of some of their players, which, I mean, Jaylen Brown, great guy, but Boston fans who swore that they were going to the finals this year, I mean, sucks to suck.
Yeah, it's not it's not happening.
People who thought that Cam Newton was about to be leading the Patriots to the Super Bowl again, nope.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's done.
And, I mean, is there anything more satisfactory than seeing the Patriots lose? Not really. There's not too many better feelings than seeing the Patriots have a really bad game.
Yeah. But,
Bill Belichick upset is one of my favorite. Every time I see him smile, I feel so mad.
Yeah.
But this is basketball. So we're going to move over to the Golden State Warriors, I think, who are the 8 seed right now. Playing in the... So, in the East right now, the play-in is Boston is the 7 seed, Charlotte is the 8 seed, Indiana's 9, Washington's 10. So, Boston and Charlotte will play in the first round. Indiana and Washington will play in the first round. It's just a one game. Whoever wins the 7 and 8 matchup, they have the 7 seed. The 8 seed then plays whoever wins between the 9 and 10 seed. So, there's the potential that Washington at 32 and 38 could be the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Even though they're the 10 seed right now. And one I'm not clear about, because I want to know this. If Indiana loses, does that make us the 10 seed? And if it does make us the 10 seed, then does that mean that we move up a spot in the draft?
If we go down to the 10 seed?
Yeah, or like...
I feel like it would.
Like, if Boston were to lose both games, even though they have a better record than Charlotte, Indiana, and Washington, would they then become the 10 seed and have the 10 seed draft pick?
I feel like if you go down in a seed, right, and down being like if you go from 9 to 10.
Yeah.
Or wherever. So let's say a Celtics, let's say a team drops to the 10th seed,
because,
right?
Because, I mean, like, that's what you get. Washington, like, you guys made the playoffs, so you don't get a lottery pick, you know?
Yeah.
Even as the 10 seed, you fought your way into the playoffs, so you don't get a lottery pick. I think giving you an 8 seed and a lottery pick seems unfair. They'd be the first playoff team to ever do that.
I feel like if a team drops down to the 10th seed, right?
Yeah.
They'll get that 10th seed pick.
I hope so.
I mean, I feel like that's the only thing that makes sense, right?
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I could also see the argument for saying, well, we did worse than the Pacers. Why are the Pacers getting to pick before us just because they lost one game?
Yeah.
But especially if the 9 or 10 seed, or so, like, let's say Washington beats Indiana. Washington makes it to the next round, and then Washington still loses. So they still didn't make the playoffs, but we're worse than them technically. I don't know. We're just going to have to see how it works.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really weird.
But yeah, I think I wish that I just knew. But so then this is where it gets, I think, really fun, is looking at the Western Conference, where Portland and Dallas are the 5 and 6 seed. They're one game ahead each of the Lakers, which is not a lot of games ahead.
Yeah.
So then Lakers are the 7 seed, Warriors are the 8 seed, Memphis is the 9 seed, Spurs are the 10 seed. So you're looking at Memphis, Spurs in the first round. That's going to be exciting. You see Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., two of the younger, better players in the league, playing against DeMar DeRozan. That's going to be a pretty fun matchup. And then Lakers, Warriors, winner take all matchup. Winner takes the 7 seed.
That series.
This is the only reason that I think the play-in tournament is good, is because that is going to be quite the match. Because, I mean, think about LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the whole Lakers supporting cast, better than the Warriors. The Warriors have Steph Curry.
All right. That's my argument. All right, here's what I'm going to, you know, say what I think about this. So, you have the Lakers and the Warriors, right? I think that if they were to play, right, but if they were to play in the play-in tournament, the Lakers have got to beat them, right? They're going to beat them. I feel like there's no way the Lakers could lose that. And that's just me. I don't see a way that the Lakers could come out and lose to the Warriors. Because, yes, the Warriors do have Steph Curry. They have Andrew Wiggins, right? They have Draymond Green.
Here's the thing. It's Steph Curry.
It is.
2021.
Yeah.
I'm not saying any team is safe from Steph Curry.
But there's just no way that... There's no way the Lakers are losing. Because it's Steph Curry, but it's Steph Curry and who?
Okay, but what I will say... Steph Curry just beat the Jazz and the Nuggets on back-to-back nights.
But that's regular season.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing. I think you put this Warriors team against whoever wins the finals this year in a best-of-7 series, the Warriors still take 2 games.
Against anyone?
Against anyone in the league.
Anyone in the entire league?
Nets, Clippers, Celtics, Pacers, Celtics. Anyone. They're taking at least 2 games.
So they're beating the Celtics.
Yeah.
They'll beat the Celtics.
Put them against the 97 Bulls, and I'm still taking 2 games of the Warriors.
This Warriors team?
Yeah.
They're not. I can't see this Warriors team taking 2 games from the Lakers.
Steph Curry is going to drop 50 in one of these games.
Probably.
Because they're making the playoffs.
They're going to drop 50 points. He's going to drop 50, and they'll probably still lose. That's what's going to happen.
They're going to make the playoffs, because even if they lose against the Lakers, they're playing either Memphis or San Antonio.
They'll make the playoffs.
Come on.
But they're a first-round exit.
No. I mean...
We're about to see,
in my opinion, the 7 and 8 seed upset the 1 and 2 seed. Because it's going to be Utah and Phoenix.
You know what? If the Warriors play Utah... But I don't know. I don't know. Because Utah is the best 3-point shooting team in the whole league.
Okay, but the Warriors are the best 3-point shooting team in the whole league because they have Steph Curry right there.
He's the best 3-point shooting player.
He's worth the 6 best players on the Jazz.
I think
Rudy Gobert, incredible defender. He's not stopping Steph Curry.
He can't guard perimeter anyone. Yeah. He couldn't guard anyone on the perimeter.
Well, he is a better than average perimeter defender. Steph Curry is the best perimeter player in the league.
Yeah, he's not guarding Steph Curry.
Yeah.
We saw last time Rudy Gobert tried to guard Steph on the perimeter when it happened. It's not going to happen.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell, no. He's not guarding Steph Curry. Joe Ingles, nope.
No one can guard Steph Curry.
Yeah.
No one can.
They have to quadruple team him, and it doesn't even work. And then if they end up winning in the first round and they play Phoenix, I mean, Chris Paul is going to clamp up Steph Curry. No.
I'm telling you right now, the only problem is that Steph Curry, they have to win. Steph Curry is going to have to drop 50 points every game. Who else does he have on his team?
But the Phoenix Warriors matchup, I'm taking the Warriors.
I'm not.
I am. I mean, Mikal, they have a solid team. We're also talking about 3-time champion Golden State Warriors who have a start. What's their starting 5 right now? It's going to be Steph Curry. I don't know who's at shooting guard. Then they have Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, James Wiseman. That's a solid lineup. I mean, I'm taking James Wiseman versus DeAndre Ayton. James Wiseman right now is definitely the worst player. It's still going to be a fairly even matchup. I mean, it's only DeAndre Ayton's a great player.
He's not. James Wiseman's hurt.
Right now?
He's been hurt.
How long has he been out for?
I don't know. He hasn't played the last, I don't know.
He's got to be back by the playoffs. I feel like I would have heard about this.
He's averaging 11-5 on the year, but...
Five rebounds?
Yeah.
That's low.
11 points and five. He's been pretty bad.
Well, I will say he has been providing good defense. Every Warriors game I've seen, he's playing solid defense. Not good defense, solid defense.
I'm trying to see. Yeah, he hasn't played at least the last three games. I don't know how bad. Like, I don't know if he's what it is, but I just know he hasn't played the last few games. But I don't know what it is. Let's see. Now, if I go,
let's see. Oh no, he's out for the season.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I thought he was out. I thought he
when
had.
When did that happen?
Maybe he tore his. I don't know what he did. He did something.
Tore his meniscus. That was April 15th.
Is that what he did?
A month ago?
Yeah, I thought he tore something. That's what I was gonna say. Because I feel.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. I was pretty sure he was hurt.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who's like. They have Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins. Draymond Green.
That does change things.
Plays defense, but he averages 2 points a game, if that. But he plays really good defense. And he's also, he I would say Draymond's a pretty good passer. He can always find Steph, you know, open. I would say Draymond's a very good passer and a pretty good defender. But Andrew Wiggins is extremely inconsistent. Well,
He's been playing better defense this year. He's been playing better defense this year, and I will say he's definitely better than he was last year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's averaging 18 this year. He just dropped 38. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look at this roster real quick and just tell you. I mean, so we have Andrew Wiggins, right? Solid player this year. I would say even a good player. Kent Bazemore, good player. Steph Curry, good player. Great player. Draymond Green, very good player. Kevon Looney, who's playing those starting center minutes now. He's always been a really solid defender. He's also only 6'9", so they can get that small ball lineup. He sets good screens. He's been consistent. They have Damian Lee, Kelly Oubre, Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal. Those are all solid players.
They are.
That's a good, solid bench rotation. It's not a great bench rotation, but it's nothing to scoff at. And I don't know. I just think that is Damian Lee really? Is that going to be their starting shooting guard? I want to see what their last starting lineup was that they played.
Well, no, but Kelly Oubre, I don't know if he's hurt. Also, he hasn't played.
Starting lineup for the Warriors. Their last lineup was Steph, Wiggins, Draymond, Kent Bazemore, Kevon Looney. That's not bad.
Let's see.
They only ran a 8-man lineup.
Yeah,
last
no.
Time.
Let's see. Golden State Warriors forward Kelly Oubre Jr. has been diagnosed with a torn ligament in his wrist and fracture in his palm.
My God.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do the Warriors have anybody?
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like I haven't heard a lot about these Warriors injuries.
That's what I'm saying.
Eric Pascal.
This is why I don't think that the Warriors can go, because they're missing everyone. They have Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins, and everyone else is in a hospital bed. So like. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of their bench players are having to come up and start, which means their bench rotation is getting a lot worse than what it should be.
Eric Pascal looks like he's injured as well.
So
I'm reading that he might be back.
I don't know. I don't know.
Eric Pascal's been in the league for 5 years. Oh, no, wait. This is that his pick was traded. Okay. The Pacers had his pick at one point. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
They were running an 8-man rotation last night. They had off the bench Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder, and Jordan Poole. So that's not that good of a bench rotation, huh?
Yeah. So that's the only, like, I think maybe if the Warriors had a healthy team, I would give them more of a chance.
But then there's still the thing of it's Steph Curry.
Yeah, they do.
That, like, as much, so many teams, their X factor is, like the Blazers, for instance, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. Blazers' X factor is Norman Powell. He could go off for, like, 25 points on any given night and really change the whole trajectory of the game. The Warriors' X factor is still Steph Curry, even though he's their star. Because a good night from Steph Curry, I think, is better than a good night from any other player in the league. Steph Curry at his best is the best player in the league. And I mean, he's been hitting that a lot lately.
Yes. Now, but there's always the risk of what if Steph, you know, just...
It's just the surrounding pieces aren't as good as they used to be.
I feel like, I don't know, I like, it's just, if Steph has an off night, right? Which we've seen when Steph has off nights. It's bad. Bad. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
If Steph has one off night, it's over.
13 from three.
It's over. I mean, and you see, like, what the rest of the team does when Steph plays bad.
Yeah.
No, they get blown out.
Then, here's the thing, is that it's Steph Curry still, and he's playing against LeBron James in the first round. Do you have any idea how crazy he's planning on going? He already, like, has the bulletin board out looking at the 3-1 lead that he blew in 2016. He's drawing up plays with Steve Kerr right now, how they're going to game plan around LeBron and Anthony Davis. He is about to get 8 steals. He's going to have 35 points, 18 assists, 11 rebounds. Steph Curry didn't Damian Lillard have a 22 rebound game in, like, his rookie season?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure. I don't know that.
But
I didn't actually know that.
It's just, I don't know. I can't ever vote against Steph Curry. Also, the Warriors turned from the good guys 2015 and 16 to the bad guys 2017, 18, 19. Back to the good guys again?
I guess.
Talk about a character arc.
I feel like every single team that, like KD. KD was the good guy in OKC. Everyone loved KD. They went to the Warriors a couple years.
Well, bad guy.
Now he's back on the Nets. And I feel like now he's in the middle.
I feel like LeBron now is a good guy as well. As far, like, he went to the Lakers, and now it's him versus the Nets, pretty much.
I don't know. I think the thing with LeBron is not even the fact that he...
no matter what he does, there's still going to be many people.
I think my dad, right? Oh, he's my dad. My dad used to actually like LeBron. He used to really like LeBron, right? It's when he was on the Cavs, and he liked LeBron. He had like a LeBron magazine. It's like a magazine with LeBron on the cover. He has it hanging up, right? Really liked him. Then, you know what happened? I'm sure you know what happened.
The Heat.
The decision. It was the decision.
The Heatles.
And it really was it's not even the fact that he went to the Heat, right? It's the fact that he had that hours of just sitting there to make a decision. He had a whole, it was on TV, the whole thing called The Decision. And that, I feel like that's what makes a lot of people not like LeBron. That thing, yeah, that right there is what makes people really not like LeBron, is that one little thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, you know, he was like 20-something and kind of dumb. You know, it was a bad move, I think. It was kind of arrogant.
And that's the main reason most people hate LeBron. It's not even the fact that, you know, that he, yeah, you know, I'm sure going to the Heat probably, you know, affected it, right? But now that's so normal that, like, people, you know, calling up other players and saying, let's go play here. Because that's what he did. You know, that's what the whole point of the decision was. He knew where he was going the entire time. He called Dwayne Wade. You know, we were trying to figure out what he called up Chris Bosh. You know, okay, let's go play on the Heat, right? They went to the Heat. Okay. You know, back then, that's not cool. Now, I feel like everyone does that. So, you know, that happened. But then just having that on TV is just like,
come on,
that's not cool. Yeah. Like, that's not cool. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I definitely understand that.
And that's the main reason I feel like LeBron will always be the bad guy, because people can't put that behind. You know what I mean? And just, you know, see that in the past.
I can understand that, I
guess. I feel like that's the main reason why LeBron is so hated. It's not even the fact that, and like, there's, I guarantee there's probably people because of that that can never, like, say that Michael Jordan and LeBron are close in comparisons. And it's like, that's, you know, that's not true. That's not true. They're close.
Yeah.
You can argue.
I mean, they're more than close.
They're close, yeah. They're right there. Like, you know, yeah. you can say LeBron's the GOAT, and I'll be like, okay. You can say Jordan's the GOAT, and I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, it's very generation-based, too, is one thing.
Yeah.
And but even then, like, I'm sure there's older players that think LeBron's the GOAT, and there's people from this generation that thinks Jordan's the GOAT, you know? So, it's that's how you know it's close. That's how you know it's very close.
Yeah. I mean, and so, yeah, it's real close. But so, it is 12:27 right now. You're listening to WBDG 90.9. Pick and Slip, Gavin and Braden right here talking to you about NBA basketball. We talked about the Warriors for a minute because I had started to talk about the Kent Bazemore thing.
Yeah.
Washington Wizards have been on a tear lately.
Yeah.
Mostly because of Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal.
Yep. Russell Westbrook broke a triple-double record.
Yeah. Congratulations. Shout out to Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
I know that we often disrespect your shooting splits on this show, but man, is he a good player still.
He's you know, he went through that phase with the Rockets.
There's a reason that I wanted him on the Pacers.
Yeah. And he went through that phase on the Rockets where it was pretty, you know, it was pretty bad. But then I just completely blanked out what I was going to say. He went through that phase with the Rockets, and then now he's back, you know, he's with the Wizards, and he's playing a lot better. I mean, even just
the
first
half of the season wasn't playing that good, and then
now he's playing a lot better. But that's, you know, like I said, shout out to Russell Westbrook. That's a huge accomplishment. I mean, that's something that won't be broken for
a while. I saw a video, and it was Jason Kidd, LeBron James, Gary Payton, and they were all like, nobody's ever going to beat Oscar Robertson's triple-double record, ever. There's no chance. It's one of those untouchable ones. Russell Westbrook not only touched it, but shattered it, and he still has a good couple years in the league where he's going to keep doing what he's been doing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, like I said, that's insane. I mean, even if you don't like Russell Westbrook, you can't stay here and say that's not impressive. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Speaking of people that you might not like but have to respect, back to Steph Curry, Kent Bazemore in a shoot-around Monday morning, or Monday, like, afternoon, said 49 points in 29 minutes, though, that's unreal. You got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up, so y'all got to do some research on that. That was a reference to Bradley Beal, who had just hurt his hamstring. Steph Curry had recently taken the scoring title back from Bradley Beal and is averaging, what, like 32 points on the season? My God. And then Bradley Beal, Kent Bazemore accused him of hurting his hamstring trying to keep up. And so then Bradley Beal called him, all on Twitter, called him a clown. He said, you don't know why I go out there and play. It sure ain't for another man's approval. You a straight lame. It's funny that you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing. Which, like, Steph Curry definitely, like it has been confirmed, Steph Curry checked Bradley Beal's stat sheet before the game because Steph Curry wanted the scoring title. To accuse Steph Curry of chasing, come on. Three rings, Steph Curry, the best shooter of all time? Yeah, no. And then Kent Bazemore said, I guess you can't joke anymore. I don't say things to ruffle feathers, but if you want to know where my loyalty is, it's to Curry. Anyone out there chasing him, it's going to be rough. It was a joke, half-heartedly, nothing malicious. So here's the thing, okay? And Gavin, I'll let you go ahead and say your opinion right after this. But Kent Bazemore, people were saying, Kent Bazemore, don't joke about injuries. He didn't joke about his injury. He said that Bradley Beal was trying so, and people said that also that he was accusing Bradley Beal of faking his injury. No, Kent Bazemore said Bradley Beal tore his hamstring because he was trying so hard to catch up to Curry, which might not be true, or might be true.
Wait, wait,
might,
So when he says that, right, what exactly does he mean by trying to keep up?
Because Steph had just broke or had just taken the scoring title.
Okay.
And so with his 49 points in 29 minutes.
Yeah.
And so Bradley Beal would have had to drop like 35 or something to take the record back or to take the title back. And so that's what he meant, was that Bradley Beal was trying so hard to drop 35 or whatever he needed to, that he hurt his hamstring.
Mm, okay.
Which, again, might not be false. I could very much see a scenario like that playing out. Now, am I saying it's happened? Absolutely not. And I would trust Bradley Beal on that more than I would trust myself. And then Bradley Beal just started coming for his life on Twitter as if Kent Bazemore, like, spit in his face, when really Kent Bazemore was just like, Steph Curry's really good at basketball. And Bradley Beal was like, what are you talking about? No, he's not. I'm the best. And just, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, my whole, like, you know, opinion about it is, I feel like I can understand where people are coming from saying that he was kind of like joking about the injury to an extent, because he brings it up, right? And he says you have people hurting their hamstrings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just to keep up.
Here's the thing. Kent Bazemore should have just kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's no reason to say that. So it's like.
He's Kent Bazemore.
So what are you doing? So like he says that, right?
Right.
And to an extent, he's kind of joking about it, because he's bringing it up in the joke. He's using the hamstring as that's like the main part. I feel like that's the thing everyone's talking about. That's the main, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the whole main thing. So I can see people are comfortable from saying that, but like, for I don't agree with the fact that Bradley Beal just kind of sent, it was like three or four tweets or something like that. That just thing. Like straight, just like trying to dismantle Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, if you aren't like Bradley Beal is a tough dude, right? And he even said, he was like, I don't like people joking about my body, me getting injured and stuff, because my first couple years in the league I was labeled as injury prone. I pride myself on always being out there for the team, and I acknowledge that. Yeah. You're a grown man. Don't let that get to you. You let Kent Bazemore get under your skin that bad? Come on. It's Kent Bazemore. You're Bradley Beal. You're Bradley Beal. That's a couple years ago. I say you're Bradley Beal. You say, yeah, he's a like decent player. Now I say he's a 30 point per game scorer. He's an all NBA candidate. He's an all star. He's the one of the best scorers in the league. Unguardable. He's Bradley Beal. Kent Bazemore, good 3-and-D guy, averages like 10 points on a good season, and you're gonna let him get under your skin? That's just, I mean, come on, you know? And again, I mean, like, I think Bradley Beal is right in most aspects when he says, hey, stop, just leave my name out of your mouth. Sure, yeah, Kent Bazemore should have shut up. You could have done the same thing. You know, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I understand Bradley Beal. Like, especially if he's, if he prides himself in a lot, or like, you know, in the fact that he was able to come back from his injuries, and saying that the first few years he you know, people were calling him injury prone, right? In fact, he's able to come back from that now and play, be the player he is. He's a phenomenal player, a great player, right?
Yeah.
And I understand if that's something that's very personal to you, it's, no matter who says it, it's going to get under your skin.
Yeah.
If it's something very personal, it's going to, you know, you're going to feel some type of way. And if that's the case, then, you know, I can't really disagree with how Bradley Beal reacted. Because he reacted in that way in the moment, because that may be something very personal to him. And so at the end of the day, you know, I feel like it happened. It's over. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just have to move on.
Hey, the biggest thing to me, though, Bradley Beal, just drop 50 next time you play the Warriors.
Mm.
Just give us a 50 piece. Let's see.
Do they play the Warriors again?
Probably I don't not. Think they do this
I don't
season.
Think they do. They won't. They're not.
They'll meet in the finals.
Oh, they will?
Yeah.
You think?
Yep. That's what I think. Can you imagine? We get a Warriors-Wizards playoff or final series. That'd be crazy.
Who do you have winning that?
Oh, that's tough. Warriors-Wizards. But then, They have Steph Curry, so I'm automatically leaning Warriors. But then also Bradley Beal's mad at Kent Bazemore, so I don't know. I think it's never gonna happen, so we don't have to worry.
Well, so much for that.
So what else? What else? You want to talk about a couple games from last night?
Yeah, go ahead.
So last night there was Wizards Hawks. Hawks won by 4, which I believe still gives the Bulls a chance to sneak in to the play-in. If they win every game and Washington loses every game, the Bulls still have a shot, mm-hmm. which is scary. I would not – like, the Bulls, I think, 100% – or, like, at 100%, if they're firing on all cylinders, are better than all the teams above them as far as in the play-in tournament. We had Trailblazers-Jazz. Trailblazers won that one. Let's pull open the box score. I watched a little bit of this one, which was an exciting game at the beginning, and definitely like a playoff preview, I would say, because both of these teams are definitely going to be in the playoffs for a second, at least in the first round. And just seeing these two playoff teams match up against each other. Damian Lillard dropped 30. CJ McCollum dropped 26. I said earlier, Norman Powell's kind of that X-factor guy. He only had 7. You're going to need better shooting from him. He went 3-for-11 on the night. You're going to need more production from him if you guys want to make a deep run in the playoffs. But they still beat Utah. Solid defense that held Bogdanovich and Ingles to 12-14. They were, of course, without Donovan Mitchell for the time being. Jordan Clarkson dropped 29 off the bench. And Utah has widely been considered to be one of the better teams in the league by analysts, and just you look at their record, they're the one seed right now. It's hard to argue with 50 wins, but it's also hard to say that getting beat by the 5 seed looks good, even when you're missing your best or second best player.
Yeah. So, I mean,
especially if you hold the other team's third best player, Norman Powell, to 7 points, I think I said, and you still lose, that's rough. Yeah. That doesn't look great for
That's
you.
That's not good.
Jordan Clarkson drops 30 off the bench and you still lose. Doesn't look good for you.
Yeah.
Do you think... We've talked about this a couple times, but as we're getting later into the season, are the Jazz contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders.
Still.
Definitely.
If the Lakers are the 8 seed and they play the Jazz in the first round, who are you taking?
The Lakers.
Really?
Yeah. Definitely.
Huh.
I'm not even second-guessing myself.
Okay.
At all.
Do you think that the Lakers at the 8 seed still have a chance at the finals, even though they won't have a single a single home field advantage? No.
No.
Not at all?
No.
Well, you're going to say because they have to play the Clippers at some point.
Yeah.
But let's say, just for instance, if the Clippers were to, like if Kawhi and Paul George both went down and they lost in the first round. And so they have a route where they play Utah, then they play Phoenix, and then in the conference finals, they play Dallas. Are they winning all 3 of those series?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think so?
Yeah. It's really just the Clippers. I'm telling you right now, it's the Clippers. Yeah, it's really all it is.
Denver's really good. Portland's really good. Clippers are really good. Phoenix are really good. Utah's really good. Dallas is really good. It's really hard for me to look at LeBron James and say you're going to lose not in a playoff series that isn't in the finals, because we haven't seen that in years.
I agree.
In like a decade. Because you think about all the playoff series that he's played, he's gone to the finals. The only reason that his final streak broke was because he missed the playoffs entirely with the Lakers. Other than that, every time we've seen LeBron in the playoffs, he's gone to the finals for the last decade.
Yeah, I feel like that's why I can't. That's why I feel like the only way I can say that the Lakers won't make the finals is if they go up against a team that is, like, built extremely well. Like, a team that's built very well. And there's another team in the Western Conference that is built extremely well.
Yeah, with the 2 star players that can both play defense and score. I would say that the Clippers are the Kobe to LeBron's Jordan, if that makes sense. Like, trying to copy the team replica, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They got...
Like, you know, Kobe and Jordan, you know.
Yeah,
they're copy and paste, it feels like.
Yeah, they're, I mean, star players. Both of them really good defenders. Both of them can play one through four, or really one combined can play one through five, probably. And good defenders, good three-point shooting between both teams. You have solid defenders. You have, I mean, it's just...
It's the same. It's
hard to say that it's not going to be one of those two winning.
That's what I'm saying.
It's hard for me to look at the Nuggets and say, you guys are going to the finals.
When you have teams like... When you have those two, when you have LeBron James in that conference, and when you have the Clippers. Like, it's very hard to do that. And, you know, a lot of people, and I promise you, a lot of people are going to go back and they're going to, you know, look at the bubble last year. They're going to say, oh, look at this. The Clippers. Well, guess what? Paul George isn't going to play good, and the team is going to, you know, choke just like they did last year. But
Can you imagine they blow another 3-1 lead?
See, like, my counter argument to that, right, is, what if Paul George plays basketball, right?
Right.
We all know I'm the biggest Paul George fan in the whole world. So... If Paul George plays good, right, automatically, conference finals. Automatically. That's if he averages 20-plus, in my opinion. Conference finals. Western Conference finals, 100% market. Now, last year's team, they're not the same team. You can look. They have Rondo now. They got rid of Lou Will. They got rid of Montrezl Harrell. They're not really that same Clippers team. Yet, they not like totally different, but they have Serge Ibaka now. They got rid of Lou Will. They got rid of Montrezl Harrell. They brought in Nicholas Batum. They made a lot of moves. Now, a lot of people might not realize that because the moves were not superstar, all-star level moves, but they were pretty important pieces, in my opinion. Getting a player like Rajon Rondo that you know turns up in the playoffs to play point guard when you needed a point guard that could do just that, Rondo fits that perfectly. You brought in Serge Ibaka. In my opinion, I would much rather have Serge Ibaka over Montrezl Harrell. I don't know about you, but me personally, I would love to have Serge Ibaka over Montrezl Harrell. Mainly for that defensive ability. Montrezl Harrell has no paint defense whatsoever.
Yeah.
His paint defense was basically not there. And I feel like that's the main reason why the Clippers struggled, was because they had Kawhi and PG, who could play very good defense, right? They can put a pretty good perimeter defense. But once you got inside that paint, you had to go up against Montrezl Harrell and Ivan Zubac. That's not... There's, like, you know.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell was a way better in that mid-range area. He was pretty good. Pretty good defense. But when it came to inside, no. I would not take Montrezl. I'd much rather take Serge Ibaka for that inside defense.
I would almost rather take, like, Andrew Wiggins in the inside against Montrezl.
And I feel like Serge Ibaka is also a pretty good shooter. He spaces the floor a lot more. That's the thing. And, I mean, it all comes down to, yes, you're sacrificing perimeter defense, more like that mid-range area defense, a little bit that three-point line defense, perimeter defense, for a more inside defense. But then you're realizing that they brought in Rajon Rondo. Great perimeter defender. Kawhi Leonard. I'm not even going to say anything about Kawhi Leonard. Paul George, great perimeter defender. Everyone knows this. Rondo, good perimeter defender. Patrick Beverley, good perimeter defender. Nicholas Batum, 3-and-D. Like, you know what I mean? Like this Clippers team is... They signed Yogi Ferrell, DeMarcus Cousins. This Clippers team is super deep. Extremely deep. And it's not the same Clippers team as last year, especially if Paul George plays good.
Yeah, but then counter LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
The thing is about LeBron is LeBron... Well, see, and this is another thing. LeBron, you know, he already got his ankle injury just a few weeks ago, right? He hasn't played. He said he was going to play, then he didn't play. So, I'm just going to assume he's just going to wait until the play-in tournament. I don't know. He said he might come back against the Knicks, but I don't know.
I will say one last time. The Clippers are very good.
They are very good. And so are the Lakers.
The Lakers have a really good team. The difference for me, only one team has LeBron James. And I'll tell you which team doesn't. It's the one in LA.
The real question is, though, Well, no. LeBron, the thing about LeBron is LeBron said he may never be the same against them with that ankle injury. If LeBron plays any less than he does, they're not beating the Clippers. But
I think that LeBron at 50% is better than Kawhi.
Well, I mean, the real question is,
you cut LeBron's numbers in half, he's averaging 15-5-5.
You take that over Kawhi?
That's still crazy.
15-5-5 over Kawhi?
No. I don't think that he's better than Kawhi at that point, but I think that he's still absolutely
15-5-5 is not going to beat Clippers, though.
Yeah, but it's not going to be 15-5-5. It's going to be like 22-8-8.
Probably. that's very much like Kawhi. Well, aside from the assists, that's very much Kawhi numbers.
With Anthony Davis down low. Being guarded by who? Let's be honest. Serge Ibaka? No.
Well, that's the thing, though. The thing about AD is AD could very well just grab three boards and call it a night.
Here's the other thing about AD is
but he could drop
very
30.
Easily drop 50.
Yeah. He could very easily. Like, that's another thing. AD could very easily go out and drop 30
Anthony
something
Davis
points.
Davis is the most bipolar player.
He's
in the
very.
NBA.
He's very. AD is a very weird player.
Yeah.
Like, he's either he's going to come out and play very good, or he's going to come out and cost you the whole game. Like, there's no in between. But another thing is, AD has gotten hurt so many times this season, it feels like he could very well get hurt in the playoffs. Kind of similar to the Nets situation. You know what I mean? Very well, that Lakers team could go down with an AD-type injury. Because he didn't... I believe AD went down with an injury in the bubble last year, but thankfully it wasn't, you know, too bad. So he was able to come back and play. And there's a good chance AD goes down with an injury. And if AD goes down with an injury, yeah. Like, it's... The Clippers are just so well-built that it's kind of insane. And once again, I'm so excited for the playoffs because I am begging for the Clippers to win. I've been begging. I was begging last year for them to win, but that didn't happen. I just need to see Paul George get a ring. Like, once Paul George gets a ring, I don't care what happens after that. I'll watch the NBA. I'll keep doing this. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens, I won. It's over. I won. Once Paul George gets a ring, I win. That's all I need. I've been watching Paul George forever. I just need him to get a ring. Just kind of like, you need Dame to get a ring. I need PG to get a ring. And he's getting older. He's not getting any younger. So, yeah. Kind of need him to get the ring. I kind of need it to be this season. Really need it to be this season.
Yeah, I mean, the window's closing for him to be productive.
So, yeah, that's that. I don't really know, you know, if there's anything else you need or want to talk about, want to discuss.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot to talk about right now, but then there's also not so much. Because, I mean, playoffs are right around the corner. That's when things are going to turn up a lot. Right now, it feels like every game matters, but, you
every
know.
Every game does.
It's not as if we can do an in-depth analysis of every single game for you. Really, that's not our thing.
Yeah.
But just keep watching games, guys. This has been crazy. Watch, like, each and every game you're seeing everybody playing at 100%. That Lakers-Knicks game from a couple nights ago was insane. One of the better games of the entire season. And without the play-in, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
The thing is, play-in may or may not be a good idea. It sure has turned up the intensity.
I wish that it wasn't to the 10th seed. Because, in my opinion, like I said, if you're a 10th seed, you don't deserve a chance at the playoffs. I mean, like, that's my opinion. I don't know. Like, me and Brent were talking about it before we came on. If you have a team that has 50 wins and the 10th seed has, like, 30 wins or something like that, or... Like, why do they get a chance?
You know, like, but why? Then also, I mean, it's fun. So, that's my only argument.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's in there, so it's in there, but...
Yeah, it's not like we're going to change it.
LeBron hates it.
Just because he's in it.
Yeah, it's like, LeBron, I swear, LeBron only doesn't like that because he's in it.
Yeah, that was the same thing. Luka and Mark Cuban were complaining about it when they were the
seventh
seed.
I thought he said he liked it last year. I don't know. I guess where he said he liked it in the bubble.
The thing is, there is a difference between last year and this year, because last year in the bubble, I mean, like...
I liked it in the bubble.
People
I don't like it now.
People had played like 55 games.
I think it's cool for the bubble and the bubble only.
Yeah, it made sense in the bubble because, I mean, everything was different. They also had just 8 random games that, like, the Knicks weren't even invited to. You know? Yeah. They didn't even have the whole league there.
Yeah. But that's all from us. You know, that's really all we had to talk about. Thanks, Brady, for being on the show, per usual.
Thank you for having me.
On. Yep. And this will be up on our podcast at WBDG ND if you guys want to check this out. Or if you guys have missed any of our previous shows, you can listen to it on there. Also,
you can also check the link on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show.
Yep. And then, that's really all I have to say. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next Thursday. Talk to you guys more about NBA basketball and what's going on around the league. Once again, thank you guys so much for listening. That's all from us, and peace.